Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of RealCom Live. We have got another incredibly exciting conversation for you all today. We keep trying to get off the topic of AI, but we keep getting pulled back in because it is everywhere. The exciting thing that we're experiencing right now, I would say in the January, February, let's call March timeframes, as contrasted to last fall where we had Buildings AI in Silicon Valley, is, you know, at that particular event, there were some good case studies, but there were more generalities, more big picture, prognostications. And literally every day, every week since that event, the case studies are starting to come out. The conversations are starting to get more specific. The thought processes going into developing an AI strategy inside of a commercial real estate organization are getting more specific. So we're getting pretty excited that this once cloudy, ambiguous topic is starting to really take some shape. And by June at our conference, RealCom and IBCon, we are going to have extraordinary conversations, examples, case studies, new products on artificial intelligence, ML, all the different AI sub-products that are going to continue to impact our industry. So along that theme of getting to the bottom of some real legitimate case studies, we've got two extraordinary guests today, guys who are just going above and beyond, leaning in. Gary Bailey, VP of Enterprise Applications and Operations for Philip Edison & Company, and Gautam Vuppala, AVP of Enterprise Applications, also with Philips. Let's bring these guys in, get this conversation started, because they got some exciting things that they're going to show us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not always easy to find the people that are doing the real stuff, especially at the speed that we're operating. And, I think, Gary, we've been having these conversations for a while. But I just want to say thank you for taking the time, number one, for being a leader, and number two, for be willing to share it with the industry. So it was about 9 months ago, a year ago, that you did a demo I think you were doing it to the AI group where it wrote the script, and you said, I wanted to take it one step further, and you said, I'm not just going to have AI write the script. I'm going to have it record in my voice. And then at the end, you said something like, is this me or isn't? And it blew everybody away, right? You remember?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, Jim. One of the most difficult things about doing these AI presentations is that technology's outdated so quickly. I wanted to do that again. But now they've actually introduced not only voice cloning, but they're doing video cloning as well. And we just presented last week at our company annual meeting, and we did a video completely generated by AI. All the spoken words were AI. The voice was cloned, and my video was cloned just using a headshot photo. Maybe Ian, can you roll that video?
Let's have a little fun and show the video.
Yeah. Before we introduce him, we want to have some fun with you. We want to show you how advanced AI has become and how it can do amazing things that you might not expect.
For example, did you know that we are not human? We are actually AI robots that look and sound like the real Gary and me.
That's right, Sherilyn. We're not just robots. We're smart robots. Everything you are watching right now has been generated by AI. Our script was written by Copilot, our voices were cloned, and even this video was created using photos of us.
I don't know what to say. And so if in the World Series context, okay, so if AI started in 1955-ish, right, what inning, what game, what inning are we in?
it's moving so quick. It's unbelievable.
Are we even in the first game? I mean, are we on the way to the stadium?
We're just scratching the surface here.
Well, and so compared to what you did with the voice 9 months ago, and then what you did with this is, I'm assuming, like a commercial grade consumer available product, right?
Yep.
And can you imagine what that's going to be like? Well, and then that's a whole other conversation, which we're going to have a lot of over the next few months, is the privacy, the cybersecurity issues. I mean, as much fun as it is, it has the potential to open up a lot of dark doors and from a cyber defense and a deep fake standpoint. So, but I think it was just wonderful of you to present that at your meeting to give people a sense of where this stuff is going. So job well done.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Give our audience just a little bit of your backgrounds and then fast track to your AI journey. And we're going to go to take us to November of 2022.
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of, on my background. I've been in the IT industry for 25 years now, 17 years of it in commercial real estate, specifically here at Phillips Edison. It was really easy for me to start the AI journey because I've been here at PECO for 17 years. I've heard the business problems that we've faced over that period of time. And quite frankly, sometimes we didn't have the right tools to match the business problem. And the minute we saw AI drop, we started to connect those dots. Like, this is a tool that we can use to start to solve some of these business problems. So we had use cases before the business was even bringing them to us. And then November 2023, ChatGPT was launched. We immediately saw.
No, actually, 2022, November 2022.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm flying. From an IT perspective, we immediately saw value in it. You know, we played with the content creation. Write a story about this. Write a poem about that. Write me a song. But we were most intrigued by its ability to extract data from both structured and unstructured data sources and give summarizations of that. We saw it as, that new tool for some of those legacy business problems. And we really, fundamentally, it's going to change the way that we interact with our data.
Gautam, how about you? Give us a little summary of your career leading up to, fall of 2022.
Sure, Jim. I've been at PECO for the last 3 years. I report to Gary in my current role, and we are responsible for enterprise application development and data analytics development. Prior to my time at PECO, I worked in various domains like banking and telecom in various IT roles, both technical and managerial roles there. From an AI journey perspective, like you said, AI evolved several decades ago. We were dabbling a little bit with the predictive analytics, but generative AI took us by storm, and Gary explained the journey, PECO's journey from there on.
So it hits in the fall of 2022. How long did it take before senior level, not just IT group, but the entire executive level, how long did it take before they took it serious?
What was it, March, Gautam, that Jeff asked us to present at our town hall meeting? So our PECO has always been an innovator. We are we lead through technology. It comes from the top down. Jeff Edison. It's ingrained.
By March of 2023, everybody was wrapping their arms around this.
We had to have a tool ready for the organization to use. Yeah.
So that's a year. You're into it a year.
Oh yeah.
So give me the very specific first action item, an email, somebody walks into your door or your office, you walk into the CEO's office, very first action item after ChatGPT was announced.
We started playing with it internally, right? From an IT perspective, we were using ChatGPT at the time. We were playing with it. This was, December timeframe, December 22. We were playing with it. Microsoft, in early January, announced their commitment to OpenAI and the $10 billion investment that they made. And, we quickly, got our hooks into the Microsoft resources to make sure that, we could figure out how to build this in our own ecosystem.
Would you say at this point you have a plan and a strategy? I mean, is it something, that you've got written down? I know it would change, but do you have a strategy at this point?
We do. And it really started, like I said, with aligning with a trusted vendor, right? Microsoft was our vendor. We were well positioned. We were already in the Azure, from an infrastructure perspective, in the Azure environment. We have an enterprise support agreement with Microsoft. So we had our data warehouse was built out in the Azure cloud. So we're very well positioned in the Microsoft ecosystem. We used Microsoft resources to help train up our IT staff. That was really the second leg of our strategy, was to get our team up to speed quickly with the resources that Microsoft was providing us. We needed to educate our associates. That was step number three. We did that through town halls, like the town hall in March I told you about. We had leadership seminars on AI. We did individual department trainings. We created a center of excellence that we call our AI Champions Group. It's led by Gautam. And we really use that as a platform to solicit ideas from the organization on how we can and continue to come up with use cases for AI. Like I said, Jeff is an innovator. He's gave a challenge to every single department head at the organization to come up with a use case for AI for their department to help drive efficiency.
Gotham, can you tell us a little bit about your team, how it's structured? Did it evolve from the a traditional IT team? Did you have to go out and find some external resources?
Yeah, so we had a team of developers that were familiar with the Microsoft infrastructure and Microsoft technology in general. And as soon as, like Gary said, we engaged with Microsoft very early on. As soon as March, we set up bi-weekly meetings with them. We engaged with their AI experts on how to leverage this technology to be able to build applications. One of the first things that we thought was, how do we get every associate in our company access to ChatGPT in a safe and secure manner? Because we couldn't let them go onto ChatGPT and put company-specific information in there. So the first thing that we developed was a Teams application, which was built on Microsoft Teams Toolkit and Microsoft Bot Framework. You could go into Microsoft Teams and chat with a bot that was essentially ChatGPT, but behind the scenes, we used Microsoft APIs to be able to get the answers back in a safe and secure platform. So that was one of the first applications that we rolled out, and we kind of rolled this out in the June timeframe is when we actually rolled this out. And we also wanted to build applications that integrated with our ERP. So the first thing that we did was we wanted to be quick and responsive to any of the leads that we get for any of our properties. Our leasing agents were doing this job, but sometimes these emails would get lost in their email boxes. And if someone left the company, we wouldn't have access to them. So we created an ERP application that behind the scenes integrated with OpenAI to be able to respond to any of the lead emails that come in that took into account the availability at the center, the square footage that's available at the center. And if those were the kind of tenants that we wanted in our center. So this is something that we demonstrated at RealCom last year, and we won an innovation award for it.
Innovation award, I remember. So as our journey is continuing, we're seeing kind of four big buckets: organizational productivity, real estate enterprise automation, smart connected building front end automation, and then client, tenant, partner communication engagement. Is that accurate to state that in the built environment we're starting to see four big buckets?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Jim. From our perspective, we focus heavily on the organizational productivity side and the real estate enterprise automation. Our goal is to be able to scale efficiently through our growth strategy. We want to double our portfolio, minimizing additional G&A. I think Gotham, we also had the third bucket, right? We're in the tenant communication tool as well.
Okay. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a brief break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about a couple, two, three of the case studies that you guys have developed and the wonderful work you're doing as it relates to AI in the built environment. We'll be right back. Okay, guys, before we actually get into the case studies, one more quick question. You're just getting used to it. The organization's getting itself comfortable with it. IT's kind of leading the charge, understanding this. The case studies, tens, hundreds. What was the process you used to determine which applications you were going to go after first?
So we started with the low-hanging fruits, those things that we could knock off pretty quickly. And just to add to what Gary said previously, our AI champions team, which is our center of excellence, that was the center for actually, the first goal we had with them is to basically use them to train all our associates across the company on how to use and leverage AI. But that also acted as an ideation platform from the ground up, where people would come up to ideas to these AI champions. And that's where all our use cases started coming up. We let the department heads know that, these are the cases that these are what's bubbling up from an AI front. We took stock of what it would save us from a cost savings perspective, and then we let the departments have a say in how they would prioritize each one of these AI projects.
Very well thought out, very structured. I love it. All right, Gary, so give us an idea of the two or three of the case studies that are just sticking out as having extraordinary results. I think we may have a slide on this.
Yeah, Ian, you got a slide for us, and then Gotham, you want to talk through, we put them in the four buckets that you spoke about, Jim, and these are just some of the use cases that we've got out there. Gotham, you want to talk through a few of these?
Yes. On the organizational productivity front, we are all about creating these microbots all across the board. These are custom microbots that can answer questions about basically unstructured documents and in some cases structured data that's tapping into the databases. We call them the Ask Bots. The first one that we have in this series was Ask Policies Bot, which was basically trained on all our documents in our Policies and Procedures Center. It turned out to be a great training tool for our existing associates and any new associates that would come in that would find out how to go about doing things. So this turned out to be a great bot that's used by us right now. We also built an Ask HR bot, which was trained on all the documents that HR had, and it could answer any questions about HR policies and any benefits documents there. We are also in the process of building some bots that talk to our SQL Server databases, which is essentially our ERP data, which can answer questions about our properties, our rent roll, and stuff like that. We are building many more bots that they'll talk about in the upcoming slide. But from an enterprise automation perspective, this is where our majority of the cost savings go in. The first project that we tried to tackle was invoice abstraction. This was something that was outsourced to our vendors where they would code all the invoices that were coming in and process these invoices through our workflow. We believe that AI could do this job more effectively, and we saved a big chunk of change automating this whole front there. Moving on to the customer communications bucket, we already talked about the leads communication tool, and we are also in the process of building other using AI as a first responder to some of the emails that we get on the AR side of the house and other areas that we are working with. Along with this, the traditional machine learning is something that we didn't lose focus. Our AI champions, we just kept getting use cases where they wanted us to predict, do some predictive analytics on the various data sets that we had. And one of the primary examples that came out of this is, they wanted us to predict the property expenses over the period of next year, which could help them from a budgeting and forecasting perspective for the next year.
That was a real recurring theme that we got when we were trying to solicit ideas, Jim, was everything was coming back to predictive analytics. So it was really important that, we weren't so focused on LLM and generative AI that we listened to these additional business problems. And from these discussions, we've brought a lot of predictive analytics use cases to the table as well. So
you read my mind. So when you get a use case, whether it be coming out of data found in Excel or due diligence found in Word docs and PDFs, what's the process that you determine? Is it AI or generative AI, or is it machine learning? What's the thought process that goes into figuring out where this application belongs?
And there is no one tool, Jim. So any application that we build is a combination of traditional automation. It's a combination of generative AI. It's a combination of using traditional AI models. Like I can give you the example of the invoice processing, invoice abstraction that we did using AI. That was a combination of traditional automation of processing the invoices that you get, that you process. And then we used a combination of generative AI and a traditional invoice model to be able to extract the data from various types of invoices that would come in from different vendors for us to process.
And what platform technology/solutions are you using?
We are a totally Microsoft shop. Our entire infrastructure is on Azure, including our data platform. We use Azure OpenAI for any of the generative AI solutions, but any of the document intelligence solutions and Azure machine learning solutions, we are entirely a Microsoft shop, and we just use and leverage the tools that they give us to be able to build these automations and all these predictive analytics solutions that we're building for our organization.
Okay, so you're already leading the pack, in my opinion. What's next? What are you thinking about for your future applications, and what's the time frame for those? I think we may have a slide for this as well.
Yeah, so we're going to continue down those microbots that Gotham spoke about. We've got, we're going to start reaching into our ERP database and our data warehouse to be able to ask information about that structured data. And one of the real objectives around these microbots is to reduce hallucination, right? So that's a real issue in the AI realm. Is if a model knows too much information, it could give you wrong information. So the way that our strategy is to build these small microbots that only know about the data within their four walls. That way we know that they they answer effectively. And then that Ask Pico, that third bullet on the slide there, that's going to be an orchestrator for us. So once we've got, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these microbots built out in our environment, we're going to build this Ask Pico orchestrator that sits on top of these microbots, and they can direct the question to the correct AI bot. So now you no longer have to be within that particular application to ask that question. You'll have just on your homepage, you'll have an Ask Pico that will shoot you across our different microbots. So that's what our future is.
I mean, now you just made me think about another 10 questions as it relates to governance, security, internal structure, you know, departmental. There's data that not, you know, am I getting a raise? Maybe that's not data you want out in the open. And then obviously the external, making sure that your data doesn't end up in some public NLM. I know we don't have a lot of time, but how much time and energy did you give to the data governance, data structure, privacy issue?
A ton. I mean, that was the real partnership that we had with Microsoft up front. And, you know, those biweekly meetings that we had. We are a public company. We have to take all those things into consideration. That's why we didn't want our organization using ChatGPT. We wanted to build that Teams platform that Gotham spoke about, where we could, you know, we knew that the data that was going in and out of that model was within our own Azure environment. And it was private to us. So that's very important in our overall strategy.
So, you know, through the course of our IT careers, we've gone through, you know, various changes and new product announcements and quasi little paradigm shifts. On this particular one, you guys are absolutely out there in front. What would you say to your peers, you know, real estate IT departments, corporate real estate IT groups? What would you say to them, maybe if they're not, you know, leaning in as fast as you are? What's the advice or insight you would offer them?
First, come to RealCom in Tampa in June. There's a ton of information there on AI. So
I didn't even pay you for that. Thank you.
Look, and find a vendor and a tool that you can align with. For us, it was Microsoft. It was very simple. But find that trusted vendor that you can align with to get a tool out there. Educate and empower your associates. Get a tool in everyone's hands so they can start to think innovatively. You know, start that center of excellence or that AI champions group like Gotham has, and don't overthink it. Start small. Like Gotham said, our strategy was to grab low hanging fruit. We during some of our AI champion meetings, we had a lot of struggles. People were hitting the wall. They were trying to think of the pie in the sky idea. And we put it as simple as everybody here works 45, 50 hours a week. If we gave you a personal assistant, what would you have that personal assistant do for you?
Great perspective.
Think smaller, and those you can start to catch value real quick, and that's how you get the organization on board. We use Bing Chat, Bing Chat Enterprise, or now that rebranded as Microsoft Copilot inside of Bing. What we're telling our associates to do is start to use it instead of Google for your searches. That'll teach you how to start interacting with large language models, how to talk to AI. It's very different than traditional keyword searches.
Yep.
So, you know, that's how we're trying to get our team on board, our associates on board here, letting them start to use it as Google search. Gotham, any
Yeah, Gotham, right? Final thoughts?
Yeah, and we train our AI champions on a lot of stuff, including prompt engineering, and we keep them abreast with all the new technologies like Gary talked about. One thing that I would advise, you need to have your data platform ready because your AI needs your data. So for AI to be able to do anything, you need to have your data platform ready. So get your data into the cloud, get your data where AI can talk to your data. So having a good data platform is absolutely essential to be successful in your AI strategy. And I would recommend that you get your data straight first, you get your data clean first, and ensure that your data have your data governance laid out, because that's going to be very fundamental to and a very instrumental building block for you to be successful in our AI strategy. We just got lucky that we had rolled out a cloud data warehouse right in 2022, just before ChatGPT started. So
you're ready.
We were just ready for all these AI use cases and building all these applications.
I want to leave you guys with, you very smart guys, with one little thought to get us thinking about June at the conference. And this is not typically a topic that we would, you know, have in an IT group or an IT department, but I think it's important. We talked a little earlier about Tyler Perry's decision to halt $800 million of construction on his new studios, right? Well, you know, whether it's a studio in California or a financial advisor in New York, this is going to impact how we use space. And I'm not sure if that idea or the prognostications that are going to be required will come out of executive leadership like CEOs and CFOs or COOs, or if that's something that the IT departments can start to get ahead of and start to do some quantitative analysis using AI to figure out how AI is going to impact portfolios. Is that a fair question?
Using AI to train AI, we're doing that already, right, Gavin?
So give some thought to that, because we are definitely going to have a session or two on AI and the impacts and how we use and utilize commercial and corporate real estate. So, guys, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And again, your willingness to share with our audience. It takes leaders like you to keep this ball rolling. And you know, when you jump out in front, those coming behind you will certainly benefit from your hard work and your willingness to share it with them. So thank you so much and have a great weekend.
No problem. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having us, Jim. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. With that, let's get Mr. Berger in here, and he's going to bring us some of the news. And Howard, I'm hoping that there's some stories out there that are not AI.
Not many.
And P.S., is that really you, or am I talking to a Howard bot? I mean, are you in your pajamas sitting in the backyard and you know, simulating this or what?
One of these days.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it.
That's what I want my assistant to do.
Yeah. Real Comp Live news. Let me get out of here. You do the news. I'll be right back.
All right. Hey, thanks, Jim. And Gary Gotham, thank you so much for sharing Pico's AI journey with us. Phenomenal work. And as we mentioned, you're going to be hearing a lot more from you both at RealCom in June. So moving to the news, I'm going to highlight a few stories from our weekly news briefing. It goes out every Thursday. If you don't see it in your inbox, just go to realcom.com and click on news. So, Jim, hate to disappoint you, but leading off this week, main story is OpenAI's Sora. What is it? How do you use it? So OpenAI, if you haven't heard about this, introduced a new AI engine named Sora. It takes text prompts and creates videos. A lot like how DALL-E creates images, it's created a huge buzz with its ability to generate these amazing video clips that seem professionally produced. Currently, it's in testing phase with red teamers and visual artists and filmmakers providing feedback. The release date, price, still to be determined, but if it follows a release pattern somewhat like ChatGPT, it might be available in later in 2024. So Sora operates on a diffusion model of transformer technology. It's trained on a huge array of internet videos and can produce up to a minute of high definition video from a very simple text prompt. Now there are limitations, of course, it's still in its early infancy, and OpenAI is going to continue to refine the platform, and they envisioned it as a tool for creating everything from virtual rules to worlds to realistic simulations. And as Jim mentioned in a related story, Tyler Perry read about Sora, then immediately halted construction of an $800 million studio project. I mean, how's that going to affect our industry, other industries, and all the downstream folks that feed into, you know, creating content? That's something to chew on. Next, so I want to thank this week's technology partner, Yardi, and Patty Evans, industry principal at Yardi, for her article, Managing Compliance, Training That Transforms Your Businesses. Now, new state laws now require updated company policies and a lot of workplace issues, and learning management systems, LMSs, can help manage compliance. So advanced LMSs manage processes like creating self-paced interactive courses, collecting all the online signature acknowledgments using tools like e-signature, and then they centralize all the related documents for easy distribution and tracking. So Yardi Aspire is a leader in LMS platforms and includes features like automated user data management, training assignments tailored to individual roles. So by embedding these training and policies within the software, organizations can now promote compliance and drive productivity. So Thank you, Yardi, and thank you, Patty, for this article. Next, forget 5G, super fast, 6G is already here. Well, almost. 5G isn't fully implemented globally, and already Samsung is testing 6G in its labs. So researchers from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and Samsung have been testing 140 gigahertz transmitter and receiver aimed at the terahertz spectrum above 100 gigahertz. Now, this could allow 6G to theoretically reach transfer speeds of up to 1 terabyte per second, although so far they've only hit 6.2 gigabytes per second for a distance of 50 feet. But the real applications of 6G, such as streaming 8K holograms for complex virtual reality, is still a ways away. But we may start seeing it around maybe 2030. So for the meantime, my suggestion is let's focus on getting 5G fully deployed. And lastly, an honorable mention, commercial real estate landscape's been digitally transforming now for well over a decade. From where we see it, it's probably been closer to a quarter of a century. And a gauge maturity in Australia, MRI polled 100 real estate firms, along with major associations like Property Funds Association, ISPT, and Property Council of Australia. And in this article, you'll find a link to Digital Transformation Journey report with valuable insights and best practices covering the learnings MRI has acquired across three broad categories, one being business challenges, two being high-value prop tech solutions, and three, a look at the state of emerging prop tech like AI and the tech solutions for important areas like environmental sustainability and cyber. So check out the article. You're going to find a link to download this complimentary report.
Yeah.
So those are a few of this week's articles.
I'll keep my feedback really simple. All great articles. The other ones in the weekly news brief as well, but very simple. If you have not seen Sora, go to openai.com. There is a little button on the lower left-hand side that says learn more about Sora. And just look at the videos. Underneath the videos is a simple prompt that it took to generate those videos. And just try to understand how big this is. In addition to being able to add sound to those videos, it's going to disrupt a number of industries. And those industries most likely are sitting in buildings. So
two things to consider. When you go to that website, you'll see the prompts they use to make those videos. And they're literally a sentence.
One
sentence. 10 words.
Yeah.
And two, think of all the downstream inputs to creating creating media, especially video media, and how that's going to be impacted from all of the folks that are on the creative processes and on the artistic processes, to even the extras they use in film sets that can now be created, using AI. So it's
as I said in the earlier segment, if this is the first game, we're in the third inning of the first game of a 7-game series. This stuff is going to get better and better every single day, and nobody knows what it's going to look like a year.
This hasn't even been released yet.
Yeah,
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Well, great job as always on the news. Good capture on some of those articles. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jim. Bye, everyone.
All right. Before we wrap, let's hear from our final sponsor. And I'm going to come back and give you a little update on what we're going to talk about next week. All right. Well, I told you that we're going to be doing a number of sessions on AI. And next week is we're going to continue on the journey. I promise you, we will be bringing in a lot of other conversations and topics before the conference. But we're just trying to take all this in, and it's happening so fast. We want to make sure we get it in front of you. So next week, we are going to bring one of our partners. We've been working with a special competitive studies project now for about two and a half years. It's an organization out of Washington, D.C. that was founded by Eric Schmidt, the former CEO and chair of Google. And he was tasked himself with the idea of bringing together individuals in the public and private sector to make sure that the United States maintains competitiveness in key emerging technologies. And that includes AI, 5G, and others, quantum computing, quantum communications, and basically focus this, on China because of their growing technological prowess. And we've had SESP at the conference for the last couple of years. They were at Buildings AI in the fall, and they've just been incredible resources to get us inside DC to know what the government is thinking about some of these big technologies. And they have are announcing or have announced an AI expo that they're on national competitive slash emerging tech products that will be held in the next couple months. And we're going to bring Yili Bhattacharyan, the president and CEO of SCSP, to talk about this particular expo. They're bringing in the big names, the big guns. You're going to see demos there that nobody has seen. We're going to have some folks there on the floor. You don't want to miss this one. I mean, this guy is the top of the tip of the needle as it relates to AI and the United States competitiveness. And he's going to talk a little bit about the expo. The companies are going to be there and giving you some additional insight as to how fast this particular topic is moving. So with that, thank you very much for your time, energy, interest, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week. Be well and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.